Good evening, everybody. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And one thing we do want to do tonight is continue on with some of the discussions we've been having. I'm hoping to get all of the parts tied up. There was so much interest in the show that we did on Coast to Coast about the three waves that we've been getting a lot of more emails about it. And I do want to continue on with the rest of that so we can tie it up. But there'll be a few other things we'll be talking about, too. Okay, but before we get going, let me give out the 800 number, the toll-free number. It's not 800 anymore. The toll-free number in case anybody wants to call in and ask questions. Okay, the number is 1-888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And my daughter Julia is here again. Sometimes she has a good input, and that's why I like her to be here.
I try.
Okay. But that show that we did on the three waves of volunteers has really struck a chord in a lot of people. We've been getting so much response on it, and I think it's like there's something here that we haven't thought about before that is really making people think. So I just want to finish up some parts on that. But it has created so much interest that some of the emails we're getting, people are saying, wouldn't it be possible to start some kind of a website where they could interact with each other? So many of them feel all alone out there, like there's nobody to talk to, and they think they're strange and unusual. And from our response, they're out there by the thousands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're saying they can't talk to anyone. Most of them just hide everything inside. So they were asking, wouldn't it be possible to start some kind of a website? Of course, they all agreed, I don't have the time to do it. But one of our friends has decided to do it. And he's putting it on Facebook, isn't he?
Right.
And you said you know more about how it's being set up. I don't know how to get into it.
But people that know Facebook do know. I mean, it's Facebook, and it's knowing the name. That's not it. I believe we were just finding it, and I think they're just in the process of setting it up. But it has to do. I think it's called V3 Waves, or it's something along that line. So, but anyway, that's it. But it is on Facebook, and the ones that understand Facebook know how to find things, but we'll advertise it more as it's next week. You ought to have more information on it. So
yeah, because it becomes more concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that was what I suggested to our friend. That would be a good thing to call it, because that's what the emails have been suggesting, the three waves. And our friend said he has put together a short video about the story, really.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't seen it yet, but where he's taken bits and pieces off of other things and put them together, like, you know, a soul coming to Earth for the first time. And there's music and everything in it. And that's going to be on that Facebook site also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be good if people could interact with each other and know they're not alone out there, that there's hundreds of thousands of people just like them.
A lot more than they think. I think there's something in their makeup that they think they're isolated, and they probably just don't want to talk to anybody fear. But if they would, they'd probably realize there's more out there than they realize.
Well, they feel it's such a strange subject, you know. I don't belong here. I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. I want to go home. We hear this time and time again, and I get it from a lot of my clients, too. It's the same feelings. And many of them have gone into depression and had to go to doctors and be put on antidepressants. Many of them have contemplated suicide. So I think it's good if they knew they're not alone. There are many others out there just like them. One thing I've been noticing, especially in my clients lately, what I call the second wave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spoke last week. The first wave was the one that had it the hardest. They're the oldest. But the second wave are the ones who are just supposed to be just opposed to
channels.
Channels. Mm-hmm. They were called antennas, generators, to just to channel the energy to the earth through them and then affect people around them. He said they don't have to do anything. They just have to go into anywhere they go, malls, stores, anywhere there are people, just their presence will generate the energy that will spread to all the other people. Now, that's what it's supposed to be. But I'm finding something that, well, it's, I don't know, it's not disturbing. It just shows human nature that a lot of these second wavers are so sensitive to energy and to emotions of other people that they don't want to go out. They prefer to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
They say when they go out with groups of people, the combined energy of crowds especially really affects them and bothers them. Now, they're the ones that also, I think the first wave also, they don't like strong emotions,
mm-hmm.
anger,
mm-hmm.
fear. This just paralyzes them and goes, and this is why they're so sensitive to it.
Right. What I'm getting is these people, what would help them is just understanding this, really. They may not like to go in them because they think they have to interact, and they don't want to interact, but they don't have to interact. And that's what it's telling me is that they just would go and realize that they are just a vessel there at that point, and they don't have to actually take on any of the energies. They don't have to interact with any of the energies. They just need to kind of be there. And if they will go with that, then they won't be bombarded by everything that's happening. The same with the emotions. They don't have to get emotionally involved with that other emotion, and they can do it as a distance thing.
It's easier said than done because they don't understand the emotion.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. If they go in, by us telling them, see, they're just saying this, tell them, and then they will understand. And then they can go into situations with being a little bit disconnected from it. They can have a little bit of distance from it, and they can do it almost as an observer. And it's almost showing me like they disconnect from themselves a little bit to pull away just so that the energy can get there, but they don't have to be in all of that and take it on. So,
well, they are described as observers.
Okay,
that's
there you go.
That's one of the things. They're not really here
explain the visual.
To interact.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to. Their energy affects so many people, and it's a very positive, good
mm-hmm.
energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the observers. They
mm-hmm.
just have to be. That's why a lot of them work out of their home,
right.
And they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't like mixing with people. I've mm-hmm. had some clients recently that are so, I don't know what you would say. They're so turned off by the energy of big crowds and
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
They just shut themselves up in their house.
Yeah, but that's why. Yeah, that's why this message came through to deliver to them. So,
but that's when I said, this is the irony of it. Here they're here to affect
mm-hmm.
all the many people as they can, and yet they are turned off by the energies,
mm-hmm.
and so they
mm-hmm.
shut themselves away.
Mm-hmm.
The irony.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
They're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing. But, of course, we've been told, even when I go out in crowds,
mm-hmm.
that there's always people who are hungry for energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't know this consciously.
Right.
Sometimes the lower vibrations of people, they need energy. So unconsciously, when they're in groups, they will draw energy from anybody of a higher
mm-hmm.
energy around them.
A good analogy is they're hungry.
they're
hungry, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
But they don't realize what they're
yeah.
doing.
Mm-hmm.
And many of you notice this, I think, when you're around somebody or they come to your house, and when they leave, you just feel so drained and so tired. That's because they are taking the energy from you. Now, they don't realize this. But they
mm-hmm.
need it, and so they draw it from everyone. So I was told to keep that from happening, you need to put shields up,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're in large groups of people, just to keep people from drawing on your energy. Now, you know, it doesn't mean it's a negative thing. It's just that they don't realize it, but they can drain you and leave you depleted.
Well, okay, but the reason they can leave you depleted because actually energy is limitless. And so here's another message, okay?
Okay, just go ahead.
Okay, pardon me and my messages, but when they talk, they talk. the light and energy, all of that is limitless. It's infinite. Okay, so some you can't really be depleted of your energy. The only time that you can feel drained is if you are off balance in your own energy for some reason, but because when you're right in the stream of it, it can't happen. So it could be that when that's happening, it's to also tell you that you're not quite centered in everything and everything you're doing. So it's just to let you know, it's like a gauge again. Remember, all these gauges they're always giving us, it's a gauge for you to kind of adjust your mechanisms, but it's also, yeah, on them too. And you can, like what I do a lot of people are, you know, or if they're sending energy, that you can put mirrors up, and that way they can get their own energy back. And so
that's what I meant, some kind of shield to keep it from bothering you.
But also look at it as something, as a message for yourself too.
Yeah.
So.
But that's what I do when I'm traveling, especially when I have to speak before large groups. I put up a shield, and to shield me from excess energy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes people send you too much also.
Right, and that's where the mirrors are good. It just sends it back to them.
I visualize a shield with a mirror on the other side of it.
Yes.
So that if people, just inadvertently, they don't realize they're doing this, but they are sometimes sending you too much energy.
Mm-hmm.
When audience, you're up there on that stage and everybody's focused on you,
right?
You get more than you mean. They mean to send.
Well, it can be a high, though, Tommy, because it's a lot. They say performers talk about it. I mean, it's a high to get all that energy, you know, from.
But you're an easy target when you're up there all by yourself and everybody's looking at you. So what I like to do is visualize a shield and say I will get just exactly the right amount of energy I need, and not too much and not too little, because too much can be overwhelming. And when you're up there, sometimes you get a blast of too much energy. Mm-hmm. You lose your focus and concentration on what you're talking about.
Yeah, you get a little woozy.
Yeah. And that's why I like to sit down. One of the reasons I like to sit down when I'm talking makes a smaller target.
Right.
But it's the other way around. If you're not getting enough, if they're drawing from you, then you're depleting you. But I don't get tired when I'm lecturing. It seems like that's what performers say. They get the energy from the audience, and it keeps them going until it's over with.
Right, and then you come down.
Yeah.
So
that's what you mean. If you're in the stream of it, it's all right.
Right. And so if it's indicating that, I mean, if you're feeling drained, then that's a good indication that you're not quite centered in the stream. You're off yourself. And so it's like, okay, adjust your things, you know. You need to kind of do a little quick self-analysis there. And it's an indicator of that, because you always want to be there, and so you use things around you to indicate to you if you're there or not. So.
But that's the problem with the ones that are so sensitive to the crowds and the emotions that they don't even want to go out of their house. They're defeating the purpose that they're here for.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was a self-preservation mechanism. They just knew that they were very uncomfortable, so they just withdraw. But that's why they just gave this thing for them to do, is do it this way, and then they can be out there in the crowds doing what they're supposed to do, but without all of that impact from the energies. So
it doesn't hurt to put up, just visualize a shield around yourself, a shield of light. I use white light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of the shield is mirrors, so that any energy that you don't want or is too strong for you will be reflected back to the sender. And it doesn't mean their negativity is bombarding you.
Not at all.
I don't want you to start thinking this is bad, because energy is neutral. It just is. What makes it positive and negative is the way it's used.
Right.
But in the old big cities, there's all kinds of energy flowing at you all the time. Traffic, about people, all the noise and the chaos. So it certainly wouldn't hurt if you are very sensitive. Rather than staying in your house, you can go out, because it's very important for you to be with people.
Right.
But just put up your shield so they won't take too much from you, and you won't get too much back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm being shown shields with some kind of a filter where yours can go out, because remember, they need to get yours.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be emanating. They're not taking it, but you're supposed to be emanating energy. but at the same time, then you won't get, you know, too much from them or something. So
yeah, because that's why they're here.
Right.
But that's the irony of it, because then they prefer to shut themselves away, and then they become depressed and suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
You're defeating the purpose that you're here for.
Right.
So those first two waves, the first wave is the one that had it the worst, but the second wave, they're here to generate the energy.
Right.
So they're the ones that are having problems with that. It's not easy being on Earth.
No, but I think it's a tremendous, well, like you said, they say we're very brave to be here. And the other thing that we've heard is that we're master manifestors to be here. So, you know, I mean, if those things said, you know, it must be, it is complex and everything to be here. But, hey, because we are here, we must be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you know.
They said they thought we were awful brave,
yeah,
because this is a complicated planet, one of the most complicated there is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's exciting, the more conscious we get about it.
Yeah.
It's like knowing that we're on this ride. You know, where before we were just on it and we're not aware of anything. And the more aware we get, the more it's like, you know, just what else can I be aware of? What else is going to happen? What else is, you know, we're on the front row of this roller coaster, and it's, or whatever, if you want to make it a merry-go-round, if you don't like ups and downs, let's make it a merry-go-round, you know, whatever. But we're on the front seat of this, and we get to see it all as it's unfolding, and it's just so cool, and it's exciting. It's like, what's next? What's next? What else, you know? What other, I mean, because we're going to have all these abilities unfolding, and it's like, what else is coming, you know? So
yes, that's what they keep telling us in my sessions, that the psychic abilities are coming back. We had them ages ago in other civilizations that have long been destroyed. We developed them to the height, and now we're getting to that point again where all of this is being brought back, all the psychic abilities. We're going to be able to do wonderful, wonderful things.
Yeah, we ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, this is the tip of the tip of the tip is what, you know, that's all indications. And so it's like, oh, it's exciting.
It is.
You know?
But that's what I wanted to stress. I've sat there and read hundreds of these emails over the last few days, and they're all saying, I think I am one, but now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I can't share this. What am I supposed to do? Because they feel so lost.
Be excited. Go be.
But I think this setting this website up is going to be a good help, because then they can contact each other and talk to each other. Because we're hearing from all over the world. These people are everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a caller. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Dolores. This is Dale from Florida. I called. Probably talk to you about a month ago.
Okay.
And I came, I listened to you. I first discovered you on George Norrie the last time he was on.
Yeah.
And I came, it was like an epiphany. It was like something inside of me just switched on, because when you just, you described what the waves were, and it just hit me to a T. However, I'm 43 years old. We'll be shortly 44 here at the end of the month. Which wave am I? I thought I was in first wave. Where am I?
Well, I don't know. I know my client just last week was in his 40s, and he fit the category of the second wave. So maybe
I don't think it's that concrete to go on this age, so which one am I? I think it's more of which one do you feel, you know, because there's a lot of overlapping.
I may be one of those rare. I don't know rare. No, I think I may be an overlapper, because I identify with the first and the second wave. You're talking tonight. Another thing that's been going on quite often here, and something has changed in the last week, in that I have a constant ringing in the ears. But this week it has changed, And what happened was the frequency level dropped ever so slightly on the octave, and then it started coming across like Morse code, very, very fast Morse code. Now, when this happens, I get a little bit woozy, I feel dizzy, and it feels as if I'm having spasms in my head. I've never felt this before.
And so, what do you think is happening?
My instinct is telling me, Dolores, I'm getting some downloads now. They are getting more intense. They are getting more intense with you know, as far as getting louder. And I am working with one of the other hosts here on this BBS network, and she does help me with everyday life with, you know, events that I need to deal with. And she's helped me in that realm. But as far as this, there's others out there with the ringing in the ears, and I found that a lot of us are really. Matter of fact, I even started a YouTube channel, and I've been getting a lot of several responses to it, and I've literally built and dedicated a YouTube channel just for this, and it gives a slight bio of who I am, and I also made a playlist of you on George's show. And I created this playlist and downloaded it so people can, you know, try to identify for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want me to explain what I found out the ringing in the ears and all that is?
Okay.
Well, you're right about being a download, but for the last several years when people have come to me, one of their symptoms is ringing in the ears. You know, the subconscious comes through when I'm working with the hypnosis. It says, it's just an adjustment of the frequencies is all it is. I don't know if it's an up raising the frequencies or what, but sometimes it can be kind of overload if it's too much too fast. But it's an adjustment, a raising of the frequencies as you adjust to what's happening right now, and it can make you dizzy.
Right. Well, because it is another level. And anytime you adjust levels, anytime you're moving your energy, that makes you woozy at first when it's happening. Now, when I heard this the first time, that's what it was, and I decided, okay, the next time I have ringing in my ears, I'm going to do a little experiment. If it's a frequency adjustment, then maybe if I raise my vibration or something, then maybe something will happen. And so the next time it did that, I mentally or consciously thought, raise my vibrations, raise my frequency. To match it. And the ringing went away. And
really?
I'm like, oh, yes, it went away. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're on to something here. So I just kept thinking up, like I'm upping my vibes. I'm upping my frequency, and it went away. So then when they're saying it's a frequency adjustment, that's what they're trying to do probably is increase your vibrations, you know, your frequency. So. I don't know. It was fun. I play with things. Just play with it. Experiment.
Because
you know?
they said, you know, your frequency, your body has to change to match the way the frequencies and vibrations are changing as we move, the whole planet moves.
Mm-hmm.
So as your own frequencies and vibrations are changing, what was my thought there? And that it does affect the body, but they said, they can't change your frequency and vibration all at once to match this. It would destroy the body. It'd be too powerful. So the only way to do it, they have to do it in steps, slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you'll notice something like this going on for several days, and then it'll level off as your body adapts. Mm-hmm. And like Julia said, as you raise your own vibration to match it, it will level off. Maybe it might be months before it happens again.
And this might be something that they're telling me that, oh, this is cool. You know, a lot of this happens without our realization, and we're not even, it's just happening. Like the ones that aren't aware at all, it's just happening, and they're probably getting all kinds of symptoms and going to doctors and everything. But those of us that are aware, this is something that it's like they want us to be consciously active within this. So it's like that little thing. Okay, you know that. So now use that as an indicator. Okay, time to up my frequency and stuff. And so we're consciously working ourselves up, and we're a very integral part with it. So that there again, there's that excitement thing again. We're a conscious part of this whole thing, and that's exciting because that's really on the front of that ride.
Yeah.
So basically, all you're saying, all I have to do is just meditate and tell myself, okay, it's time to raise it to match it.
Yeah, when you get those indicators, I mean, because when I've done it, it's been at night, like I was going to sleep, and the ringing would be there, and I'm like, okay, and I just start thinking, it's like I keep raising my body. I mean, it's like an up, you know. I just think
right.
Up my frequency, and it just went away. So it's like somewhere in there it matched, and I guess that's an indicator. Okay, you're there, and
this has been happening. The change in the frequency, and the Morse code type.
It's also downloading information into your other part of your mind also. But
this is happening every night of the week now.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, play with it.
Yeah.
Play with it. See what happens.
I will definitely play with it, and thank you very much for your time, and I'll enjoy listening to the rest of you here on the network.
Great.
Okay. It can't hurt you. Just play with it anyway.
Yeah, it can't hurt.
Okay.
I'll call you back and give you an update next week.
Great.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night.
But I was thinking of some of the clients I've had recently that the energy is too strong,
and
it's really creating a problem, like the one that's like epileptic-type seizures.
Well, yeah.
That's too much. But we were saying you can turn it down.
Remember, consciously, you just say, hey, too much.
It's too much.
I mean, all of this can be done. You can do it. You can affect it.
So you're talking about raising it, but also if it's too much, we can say turn it down.
That's energy. We're talking about two different things here. There's frequency and there's energy.
All right, two different things.
Yeah, the frequency is where you are within your, you know, within the planes and whatever, the dimensions and everything. It's your frequency on those levels.
Okay.
And it's you're raising your frequency and your vibration, and that's the rate that you're vibrating at. The energy is the energy that's coming into you, which is always coming in, but it's sometimes, like I said, some people
The energy is changing also.
Right, it's changing, and maybe they, when they came in as a channel, they said, okay, give it to me. I'm here. Give it to me. You know, and they're like, whoa.
But sometimes they turned it up too much, and it has to be a physical effect
on
the body.
Right. They overestimated what they could do. They did not. They overestimated the human body and what it's capable of. And like I said, it comes in as a funnel into the top of the head. That's how it does. And these people, when I've looked at them intuitively, they've got it coming down like a full beam, like at least 2 feet out away from them, maybe more than that. It's like, that's not the correct way to come in. And so it's just totally overwhelming, you know, and it's out of balance, it's all that. So it's just a matter of turning it down and having it come in the proper way, the proper channel.
Well, I've been telling them to visualize some kind of like a dial or something that they can turn it down with.
Sure.
Or just just ask them, say it's too much.
Yeah.
Just turn it down.
Right. There's nothing complicated about that. It's something
that's
simple. So.
Yeah, okay. Okay, who's somebody there?
Yes, this is Tom from Michigan.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I had also heard this broadcast on the George Norrie, and the thing that struck me when you were describing, especially the wave one and two, was that quite a few of those attributes, I really don't know hardly anybody that doesn't get those feelings in their life, you know, of being lonely and, you know, some of that other stuff. So it would seem like a lot of people would just respond to, you know, to those general kind of attributes. So how do you kind of, you know, decipher who is and who isn't? You know, I guess now for me personally, one of the things, a lot of these attributes that you talked about are attributes of somebody who's gone through abuse as a child, which I have.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yes, I've had many clients who have had a child abuse, and this is a different thing. But what I think you're talking about, everybody does have a few of these, but when these waves, they seem to have all of them, and that's why it's overwhelming.
Or it's an extreme isolated feeling, or an extreme
not wanting to be here.
Right. It's kind of overly, you know, rather than just a,
I feel lonely today, or I feel depressed today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, yeah, child abuse, I didn't let you finish that, I'm sorry.
Well,
but you said you've experienced child abuse, you said.
Right, so, you know, I experience quite a few of those attributes, you know, that you described. And
uh-huh.
so I wonder kind of how you tell the difference between, are these because of that experience in my life, or are these attributes because I'm a star child,
mm-hmm.
you know, that type of thing.
Well, and another thing that you've said, too, a lot of these people, they will say when they were very, very young, they were like, I want to go home, and, you know, and they don't know where home is. So that's another one that, you know, they knew from early on they weren't from here. So that's an indicator as well, besides these others. These others are more general, but that one, you know, they knew they didn't belong here. And so, but anyway, go ahead and answer the rest of his.
Well, that's what I was trying to think.
Well, one is when you do a session, it will tell for sure.
Oh, yeah, when I do a session, it always comes out. Oh, I'm trying to think. I had some thoughts going through my head. Okay, come back, little thoughts here. Okay, but, well, see, we have a lot of the child abuse cases. You know, they do a lot of retreating just because they can't handle it, and it's very difficult for them. So they do retreat
mm-hmm.
away from that, and that's natural. I've had people who have, you know, they've never let it go. Here they are adults, and some of them even a lot older than you are, and they just will not let it go. They just hang on to what happened to them as a child, and that's not good because everything in our life is lessons. We all come here to learn lessons. So if you hang on to it, you're defeating the purpose
mm-hmm.
because we're here to move.
Right.
That's when I always tell my clients, release it and let it go. Then you can move to what you're supposed to do. And it's not easy. I never did say it was easy. Some people say, I can't forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. Do you have problems like that or not?
Well, I've been through quite a bit of counseling, you know, and have pretty much let go of it. I would say more wondering, you know, not so much blaming the person that did it, but blaming, you know, the universe or God or whatever,
uh-huh.
you know, why me type of thing. You know, that's still a struggle.
Well, believe me, it's not God. He doesn't do anything to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
And the why you, well, you did it. You chose it.
And that's what my clients, a lot of people don't believe because they said, what do you mean? I chose to come into a family like that who would treat me so horribly? Yeah, because whenever you are on the other side and you're coming into a body, you make your plan. For whatever reason, this is a school. I've said that before. And whatever lesson you're going to learn, okay, this is what I'm going to learn this time. And you set it up. You make arrangements with all the souls involved, and you set your plan. This is what I'm going to do. And sometimes your guides and the masters and the elders over there, they're counseling you, and they're saying, you know, you better think twice. This is going to be a hard one. Do you really want to do that? And you're the one that decides, yeah, because I think I'm going to learn a lot. But so you do choose it. You choose your parents. You choose the circumstances. And people don't believe me. They say, well, I would never choose to do something like that.
Yeah, but look at what you've learned, you know. I mean, if you can get objective about it, get really objective.
Yeah, you learn something? That's amazing.
You know, I mean, or look at what it taught you, something. I mean, there's that you experienced it for a reason. You know, maybe it taught you survival skills. Maybe it taught you
To be strong,
right. I mean, there's different things that maybe that was the best way for you to learn that, or you saw it as the best way for you to learn that. And did you learn it? You know, because that's what it was all about. I mean, only your higher self, you and your higher self, knows what you're really working to accomplish there. So, but you have to get really, really objective and
then,
look at it from the outside.
After that, you can go into the next lesson, which may or may not be easier, it may be more difficult, but at least it'll be different. But do you think you learned anything from your experiences?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good.
Because people tell me, no, I didn't learn anything. Well, then they got to repeat it. You got to take that grade over again. You don't want to do that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
The main thing
leads,
go ahead.
This actually leads up to two other questions with, you know, what you were just describing.
Okay,
one is, well, of course, I read The Keepers of the Garden.
Yeah.
And I always wonder, and you talk about how a lot of the people are, especially in the first wave, are suicidal.
Well, they
okay.
can be.
Now, what if Phil, you know, or a lot of other people, what if they do commit suicide? Where does that leave them in this whole bigger picture? What, you know, they've cut their time short here on Earth. They've not fulfilled what they came down for. Where does that leave them?
Not in a good place. Now, there's no
yeah.
purgatory like the Catholic Church tries to tell you. It's not like that at all. But like I said, you come in, you make contracts, you make plans with other people, and there's definitely karma involved. When you commit suicide, you cut all that short. You break your contracts with other people, and you cut it short. So when you die, you're not out of anything, because you're going to have to return and do it all over again. You have to be in the same people, the same situations, only next time it'll even be harder because you didn't fulfill your contract. You're not punished. This is just the way the law goes, the law of the universe. But you're met over there on the other side by very kind and wonderful spirits because they realize you took on more than you could handle. And they said the soul, the first thing they say is, oh, my gosh, why didn't I stay and finish this? They could see it from that side. But they said, now I got to go back and do the whole thing all over again. I should have done it while I was there because you don't get out of it. You just have to come back, do it again. So sometimes I said, if you just stick with it for a few days, you might see a big difference in the way it would affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about the book our company just published.
Oh, it's a book called The Other Side of Suicide. And it was about this man who did commit suicide, and then he came back, like, I think it was 25 years later,
yes.
to his niece and told her everything of exactly what happens, you know, to someone when they commit suicide and exactly everything around it and what they're feeling and thinking and then what happens on that side. And so it's really eye-opening. But, yeah, the biggest thing is it's not, like you said, yeah, where are they? I mean, what they're in a position because they have cut things short, and so they have to fulfill that. They came here. They volunteered to come here and help. I mean, the ones that aren't in that program, I mean, that's you go. I mean, it's all lessons and everything, and you're going to have to work it out and come back. The ones that are the volunteers coming here, I would imagine it's very similar. The main thing is for them to realize they asked to come here and they came with a mission. So probably as soon as they remember that, they're probably feeling compelled to come back and finish it. So.
Mm-hmm. But in that book, and in the work I've done too, sometimes you can't come back right away because you have to be worked with. It's more or less like going into a type of spiritual hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be worked with, your soul can be worked with, so you can come back and do it again in the right way. And I've had many cases like this where people go back to other lifetimes where they have committed suicide. Because I've had them come into my office and say, when I leave here, I'm going to kill myself. You're my last hope. And I said, boy, that really puts a lot of responsibility on a therapist. But sometimes they go back to two or three lives before this where they committed suicide again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the session, they'll say, I'm doing it all over again. It didn't help anything. So it has opened their eyes.
It would seem to
anyway.
Me that if you had taken on more than you can handle and realize that, is there like a change? It sounds to me like you have to come and face the exact same circumstances. If you couldn't handle it, you took on more than you could chew, then wouldn't you want to be working something out where you say, okay, I realize that I'm going to go down there, but with not quite as much on my shoulders?
I think it's a possibility.
When I go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a possibility because, like I said, when you're making your plans, the advisors over there will tell you, you know, you're taking on too much. This is not a good idea. But they said, we'll be there to help you. We don't.
But again, you know, if there's a pattern going on here too, you know, and you keep, and it could be, it may not be as much as you had the first time, but maybe now this is your way out, and you kind of resort over there. If this is your natural way to go, you're creating a pattern of dealing with any situation now, and it could be that now it's not as big, as much as it may have been the first time, but because this has become your pattern of escape, then it's just what you do, and you're going to keep coming back until you figure it out.
Yeah.
But now by the person coming to you, they're trying to get to the bottom of it and go, you know, what is it?
Yeah, because you don't escape. You don't get out of anything. That's the thing. I want to tell them about that prisoner. We have a very active prison program that we get, every day we get mailed from prisoners, and we always send them free books, and it really has made a big difference to them. But one young man, he said he was only in his 20s. He wrote me a letter, and he's in prison for life for murder. And he didn't say he didn't do it. He just said he was just, it was so horrible what he was going through in prison. They said, you can't imagine. And, of course, I can't imagine what it's like to be in there. But he said, I'm going to kill myself. And all I want to know from you is what will happen if I do. And he said, I don't want any religious crap. Pardon me for saying that. But he said, I want to know the truth. So I sent him my book, Between Death and Life, because it has it in there. And he got the book. It was really, he had the most amazing letter right afterwards. One of his friends wrote us, and he said, when he got my letter and the book, he was running down the hall waving it and said, she answered me. And what he has done now, he's become a librarian type of person there at the prison. He gets our books, and he keeps a record of them, and he gives them out to the other prisoners, and they have discussion groups that meet. So he now has a purpose. Even though he's in prison, he'll never get out. It helped him to a certain extent. So we just never know. Mm-hmm. So I think that made me feel so good to know something like that.
Yeah. Well, my last question is, and I'd asked this in an email, and you had referred me to this program that you'd be discussing it on here. And as I really have a struggle with coming to Earth or wherever your assignment is with no memory. And I know you say you addressed this in the book that you had just brought up, but I think it would help your listeners to hear you talk about that, including myself, because if anything, that probably agitates me the most when I get so frustrated that I know that I should know a lot more than I know, and it's not here, and I really feel in myself I'm ready to know, and it's not coming, and it really doesn't make sense.
Well, it is beginning to come back, though. We're beginning to get these memories are coming back. But I had a list here that I made from some of the emails, and that was one of the things I was going to address. Okay, like I said, this is a school, and you come here to learn lessons.
And have experiences.
Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of a school where you can't skip a grade, but you can have to take a grade over again because you don't go on to the next grade till you finish the lessons in this grade. And they said they don't care how long it takes you. It can take, they have eternity. It can take you eternity if you want to spend that whole eternity in kindergarten.
Well, remember, this is you. I mean, it's not like they are doing something to you. This is you controlling all the mechanisms in here. So it's not like they're sending you, I mean, you have guidance and everything, but it's not like they, like, because you just said they don't care, like somebody, they don't care what happens to you because they've got it.
No,
you
I mean,
know
the
this.
What do you
right.
want to say?
The
universe,
doesn't care.
The ones we communicate.
Yeah, we don't care when we're there. We're like, okay, we'll just jump back in there and go do this. So.
I guess if you would want to say, like, the principals of the school. That's
still too linear and hierarchy.
Okay, but anyway, you have eternity to work out one lesson if you want to take that long. But why spend all that time in kindergarten? Wouldn't you much rather learn it faster and then move on to the next grade until you can graduate? So you don't get out of it till you graduate. So I asked them one time, wouldn't it be easier if we knew why we were here, if we knew our associations with other people and what this was all about? Wouldn't that be easier? They said, no, it wouldn't. They said it wouldn't be a test if you knew the answers.
Did that make you feel better?
Wouldn't be a test if you knew the answers.
Exactly.
But they said if you knew all the things that had happened to you, all the things you had done, and all the things everybody had done to you, and here you were with the same people, it would be so overwhelming that you couldn't even function. So that's why memories have to be taken away.
Oh, okay, you want one of these messages that just came through?
Go ahead.
You know how she's saying it wouldn't be a test if you knew all the answers. And again, where we are right now, we're starting to move out of the testing phase. We're more into the experiencing stage. It's really more that we're here for the experiences. So look at it that way, is it wouldn't be a full-fledged experience. It wouldn't be a full game. It's a game. We're playing games.
It's only a game,
you know?
Yeah.
We come in and we're just so fully invested in this game. And if we didn't have blinders on and we could see on the outside of this game board, it wouldn't be as much fun apparently to our souls. so we do this just
not allowed to cheat, I guess.
I guess so. it's really, that's how it is, and it's just see what experiences we'll create for ourselves. But you know how in dreams sometimes you know, they have lucid dreams where you can kind of start taking control of your dream and you can make it. Have you ever had like that where you can move it and shape it and have things happen?
Yes.
Rather than, right. Well, that's what I'm getting the impression of, is we're to that stage where we can start doing that with this. Okay, now that we're realizing it's a game and now that we're realizing that we're in a whole lot more control than we thought, well, then that's where, see, the fact that you're asking, I want to be more aware, I want to, you intend it. Now you start being more aware, and that changes your game.
Okay.
So,
well,
and that's
I guess
where we
are. More specifically, I was thinking along the lines of, you know, the mission, especially like the Star Children, the mission that they come here. Here, I'm 55. All of a sudden, I'm realizing, you know, what I'm sent here to do. Not necessarily what I'm sent here to learn and so on, but what I'm sent here to do.
Yeah.
But it seems like the last 55 years have almost, you know, been a waste as far as all those years I could have been, of course, except when I was a child, but, you know, could be doing my mission, doing what I'm supposed to do, instead of just wandering aimlessly for decades.
But you were doing it.
Well, it was not a waste, because all that time you were in kindergarten and grade school, moving up into junior high, you were, in this game board, this
school. You were affecting people and not realizing it.
You were learning your basic lessons, and maybe you didn't think they were, but it had to get you to this point right now.
Yeah, they're telling me not one moment, not one single second is ever wasted. So don't look at it that way. It's not wasted. It's totally bringing you to where you are now. So,
yeah.
Just trust that. That's a trust one that you have to do.
You know, I know for some people come to me, and they remember being on the other side before they came in. They remember talking to the guides and the masters, and when they were given their plans, they remember all this consciously. They never had the memory taken away, and they were told what they were going to do. And they remember coming in from the time they were entering the body, and they are having a very difficult time because they have all of this knowledge, and it's the opposite. I knew I was supposed to be doing something ever since I was a child, and they still can't do it until they get to the right point in time.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. You
Everything
know, and so,
has a time.
Right, and that's the reason you're asking the questions you're asking now, is because it's the right time for those questions and for you to feel this way. And the reason you're feeling restless and everything is because it's time for you to make whatever move you're about to make. It's all in
perfect sync.
Exactly. And very precision. They're giving me like very precise, very precision movements and everything. So nothing's wasted. Don't ever think that.
And even if you had, like you said, bad childhood, if you had bad marriages, it was all teaching you something in the game of life.
Oh, it's probably super valuable things that you're going to parlay off of for what, you know, where you're going and what you're doing now. It's probably, I have no idea, but things like that don't happen for willy-nilly reasons, you know.
No.
They have major learning. They're just huge that you build off of. So, you know, if you haven't used them yet, you will. So,
because I've had clients who had terrible childhoods, terrible marriages. They had about every horrible thing that one person could do to another was done to them. And it was like, what on earth was the purpose? But when we had the sessions, it was say they came through and said they learned this so they could help other people.
Right.
Because they said, who better to teach than the ones who have been there, done that?
Mm-hmm.
And you can relate to other people who have been in the same position.
Right.
An ordinary person who has not experienced this, they can't relate, they can't give advice. But the ones who have done it and survived and moved on, they're the ones that can help the others.
Yeah, look what a strong person it makes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm seeing
in
my clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got a job.
I'm going to go ahead and hang up. Any more that you can expand on, you know, the idea of not being sent down with, you know, the memory of what you're supposed to be sent down with. Any other ideas you have would be appreciated. And thank you very much.
Okay, but now go forth and do
and
something.
Be.
Do something.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Good night.
What do you want us to expand on?
Oh, if you get any more on why we come in without knowing, and it's because it is frustrating. It is. But, you know, and I think the more that we realize, and that's part of that conscious awakening and stuff, the more we realize that we are very conscious, integral parts of this whole thing, and then we don't feel so much like a puppet and like a little blinded whatever, you know, a mouse running around blind.
Yeah.
That we are in charge, you know. We're just...
Well, you know, when I have spent 25 years working on UFO ET cases and done a lot with the ETs, and this is what they always said, when they come in, you know, they're all souls just like us.
Mm-hmm.
We have been ETs. We're all the same. But when you're in a life like that, Earth is just different.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a life where you're living on other planets and in spaceships and things, they said they come in when they know their plan. They remember. They have conscious memory of the contracts they've made and everything that has happened. And that's why it's so frustrating to them to find out that the humans don't remember their contracts. Mm-hmm. Because when you are interacting with ETs, you have always agreed to it before you came into this life. It's part of the plan.
Right.
I don't know why we're getting over to ETs, but I guess it's important.
Somebody must need to hear it.
Okay.
So.
Because they always think, oh, you know, this is all done without their permission, but it's not.
Never a victim.
Never a victim. You agreed to everything. And they said, if you don't like anything that's happening, just say, okay, I want out. I want out of the program, and they'll let you out. But they said it's very frustrating to them. They say, don't you remember you signed the contract? Because they remember and we don't.
Right.
And when you're on the other side and you're making your plans to come into a life, you know, who you're going to interact with, all of the souls and the relationships,
right,
they'll come to you and they'll say, you know, while you're alive on Earth this time, we're going to have this program going on. Do you want to be involved in it? And you're the one that decides, okay, I think I'll do it.
Right, and it's very specific things that they're doing. Like you said, a lot of it is they're seeing the effects of the atmosphere, the changes of the Earth on the human body.
On the human body.
And they needed that to know how they can help and everything. So, I mean, it's a very understandable why you would say, yes, I'd want to do it. It's not, I'm volunteering for human mutilation or anything. No, it's they are just taking specimens and things like that to understand what our environment and our foods are doing to us. So,
But you know, whenever you're in the human body, then it gets exaggerated because the human mind doesn't understand, and it blows things out of proportion and distorts it. We're coming up to time to stop here in just a few minutes. But so I've done a lot of talking about that at the UFO conferences, because I don't see it as violation, because they said they are not allowed to do anything against our free will.
Right.
That anything is done is because you've agreed to do it. And they said if you have anger, if you don't want to be in the program, then you just say, okay, I don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
I want out.
Yeah, we've heard from a lot more people that want to be in the program than ones that want out.
Yeah. At my lectures, they'll say, how do I get into the program?
Right.
Because it has great benefits also. But anyway, there's a whole lot to all of this. None of this is simple. It's like we opened up a whole Pandora's box on that show, and it's we're hitting a lot more people than we thought we were going to.
Well, and like Tom was saying, I mean, a lot of people can identify with this, and that's we're probably getting a lot of that as well. But time tells, you know, what's going on, and it's okay. I don't think that's a bad thing to be identifying yourself with. Okay. It means it may have given somebody a feeling of a mission. That's okay.
And now they
purpose,
understand.
So.
Finally, for the first time, maybe they understand why they are here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but boy, that hour kind of went fast because we had some very good callers.
Yes, thank you very much.
And that was some very good things there. Okay, and I want you to, we're going to be doing, we're doing classes now. We're lining up some more classes, and we're going to be doing more lectures. I'm only home for the holidays, and then we'll be off again in another month or so. So if anybody wants to know about our schedule, the speaking schedule, the classes, sessions, anything, go to our website, and you can check it out on there. That's www.OzarkMountain. It's the name of our company, Ozark Mountain Publishing, and it's abbreviated, OZARKMT.com.
Or you can also do DoloresCannon.com. It goes to the same place right now. So.
But if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. But she said, yes, the DoloresCannon.com will also get in there. Or you can call our 800 number, 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045, and find out what's going on. Okay, everybody. Well, good night for everybody, and thanks for listening.
Good night.